that's the way a lot of people think about it. They'd never articulate it like that. We're getting God out of scrapes all the time. Poor God. He can't get his mission done, and he can't get people evangelized, and so we'll help him. It's the wrong way to conceive of missions. It's the wrong way to conceive of evangelism. It's the wrong way to conceive of counseling and everything else. Don't be tonto to God. That will defame him. No help wanted. I will serve you. You don't serve me. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. He will serve you. You don't serve him. He will get you out of scrapes. Charles Spurgeon preached a sermon called Robinson Crusoe's Text one time. And in that novel, Robinson Crusoe, there was a text that he had, and it was Psalm 50:15. God says, if I were hungry, I would not tell you. The cattle on a thousand hills are mine. You call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you will glorify me. And he unpacked every phrase of that for 45 minutes. You call on me in the day of trouble. There's a no help wanted sign. I'm up there to serve you. Sound radical? God serves us. You call on me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you. Then you will glorify me because the giver gets the glory. That's why this is so crucial that you not serve God, but find a lifestyle. I call it living by prayer, in which you're constantly calling upon him to serve you. Why is the debtor's ethic that says he saved me, now I gotta work for him and try to repay the debt? Why is that so bad? Two or three reasons. Number one, every effort you make to so-called repay God for his grace to you puts you deeper in debt and doesn't pay anything. Why? Because 1 Corinthians 15:10 says, by the grace of God I am what I am. In his grace to me was not in vain, but I worked harder than any of them. Nevertheless, it was not I, but grace that is with me. Okay, suppose you think of your life then as repaying God for his grace. So you say, I'm going to work hard for God. But then you bring that text in and it says, I worked hard for God. Nevertheless, it was not I, but grace that was with me. So every speck of energy you expended in this so-called service of God was a gift, a gift, a gift, a gift. And every second you were going deeper and deeper and deeper into debt to grace. You can't pay it back. It's impossible. Everything that you could do that would please him, you would do in reliance upon more grace, and therefore you go deeper into debt every day, and God says, yes, you got it. Because I mean to be the giver here every second of your life, because the giver gets the glory. You get the joy, I get the glory. You get the help, I get the honor. And that's the key to the universe. Here's the second reason why the attempt to live a debtor's ethic and pay God back for all of his grace won't work. It's self-contradictory. If you could do it, grace would no longer be grace. It would be a business transaction. He gives this, you give that. The amortization payments might take an eternity, but it's still a business transaction. Oh, the depth of the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable are his ways. Who has ever given a gift to God that who should be repaid, or who has ever been his counselor? Answer, nobody. Nobody has ever counseled God, and nobody has ever made a contribution to God. Why? Verse 36, Romans 11. For from him and through him and to him are all things. Conclusion, therefore, to him be glory
forever and ever. The giver gets the glory. Which means, as we close, an alternative to serving God is to live a life of prayer in which moment by moment you are expressing to God, not necessarily out loud, but at least in your heart demeanor, I need you, I need you, I need you, I need you, help me, supply my need, so that every moment of your life is a getting, a receiving from God. Never a making a contribution to God. So that it relentlessly accomplishes the two great goals of my life and God's two great goals. His glory, because the giver gets the glory, and my joy, because we get the joy. And I'll just give you the one last verse that I gave you yesterday. 1 Peter 4:11. Let him who serves... All right, now here we have service. An alternative to serving God. Yes, we serve God. Paul calls himself a servant. But now it's got to be completely rethought because of those warnings. So what's the essence of it? What's the essence of serving God in missions? And the answer is receiving from Him. Let him who serves serve in the strength that God supplies, so that in everything God may get the glory through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever. What a verse. What a freeing verse. Everything, absolutely everything you do should be a receiving from God, never a giving to God as though He needed anything. You are always beneficiary. You are always bankrupt. You are always thirsty. You are always hungry. You are always receiver. You are always getter. You are always hedonist on a quest for joy in God. And nothing glorifies Him more than when you stay in that lowly, receiving, getting, dependent, prayerful demeanor. And make Him the fountain of living waters, so satisfying that you would never turn away to broken cisterns of sin, money, sex, power, prestige, success in all kinds of Christian endeavors, and so on. Well, I've got to stop, though there's more to say. God's glory is the ultimate value in the universe. The way He has seen to it to display, uphold, and magnify that glory is by creating human beings who find their delight in Him, so that God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. And that satisfaction expresses itself moment by moment in living by prayerful reliance on the waterfall of grace that enables us to do the mission, do the ministry, love the wife, rear the children, break the powers of sin, and magnify Him. Let's pray. Oh Father, grant this to be our life. Please, come, strengthen, transform, show yourself. If there are any here, Lord, who do not see You as infinitely glorious, more satisfying than watching the Olympics, more satisfying than making good grades, more satisfying than having or finding a spouse, more satisfying than staying healthy, more satisfying than reaching some height of professional achievement, then open their eyes, I pray, that they might see. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen.